Alright, time for another draftphysics.com. Debatephysics.com also. But no worthy opponents have arisen from the, whatever, the available puddle of viewers. So, nobody to debate. So we have to debate people in extemptia. Yeah, so we'll debate. This is an old Veritasium video somebody kindly provided me the link to. And it's really just so pathetically bad. As science, the difference between mass and weight. And what he's really going to talk about is inertia, and what he's going to leave out of the conversation is friction, which makes no sense at all. Really. So it's very short, so I should be able to do it in an hour. Oh, I probably have to change my settings. Probably have to do that, sorry. Put this volume up and put this volume down. Alright, somewhere around there ought to be suitable, I hope. So douchebaggery to start with. He's got his little, whatever it is, fancy car.
What is the difference between mass and weight?
In motion. So the question really is what's the difference between weight and momentum? And then you could ask, what's the difference between mass and momentum? And you could say, the velocity thing. Yes. The velocity gives your mass weight. That's simple. Simple answer for, reasonable people.
I think it's something that a lot of people are confused about. They just think that anything that's big, like this car, has a lot of weight. It's very...
it has a lot of weight in one direction down. Okay, it doesn't weigh anything going this way or that way at the moment. So, yes, it has a lot of down weight because gravity is giving its mass velocity down. And the Earth has to push it back up again, and it gets this weight down again.
Heavy, it's got a lot of mass. And people just basically think of these ideas as all the same.
But right, and you people don't help any, frankly. I mean, this video isn't going to help clear anything up, so it's not like it's going to fix any of those misconceptions about what's really happening to the car as a physical object, or what happens to us as physical objects, in the sense that we are tiny compared to this gigantic Earth, and really the contest is between us and the Earth, and there's a force between us, so to speak. We're in contact with each other, and which one's going to yield to which one? It seems kind of obvious the Earth isn't going to yield to our mass. Our mass will have to yield to the Earth.
But there's an important distinction between the terms mass and weight.
Not in science, unfortunately. So your distinctions are silly in the sense that their distinction is some kind of idiotic notion that the only time weight has meaning is in gravity. When obviously it can have just as much meaning if I just turn the car on and move the car forward, it's going to have weight. I can put a scale in front of it and now it will weigh something, right? I can put the scale on a steel rod embedded into the asphalt and I can push the car into it and the car will register on the needle, will say that it weighs something. Just like I was weighing a fish, okay, same difference. It's the pressure it can apply. It's its momentum.
Mass refers to the amount of matter in an object, whereas weight is a force.
So it's really not a force, it's what you've collected as force. So yes, you could say, okay, weight's a force, but you have to be clear that all you're really saying is it's a force that gives the mass motion. When the mass has motion, then it can apply a pressure. It can have weight.
It's the gravitational attraction that the object feels towards, in this case, the Earth's center.
So, it doesn't feel anything. So again, that's just more crap. It acquires it. It collects it. It collects the force like it was collecting rain. And the rain is motion. And that motion means it has to, move. Because it's collected it.
So I've got a little experiment today where I brought my car out here.
Yeah, to be a pompous douche And so, yeah, he's going to go ask the regular citizenry at whatever, the goose shit pond, what they understand the truth to be. Which is, you know, just more, you know, junk TV, frankly. It's not very good science to ask people who don't have the answer what the answer is.
I'm going to ask some people, why is it difficult to push my car? And my bet is their answer will be because the car is heavy.
And the point you won't get to is, yeah, it doesn't really have anything to do with it. Because if your car was floating on air, if I put a bunch of airbags around it and floated your car, or magnets under it, or some other kind of thing to float it in the air and took away the friction with the ground, your car would be fairly easy to push. So anybody who's done any boating, I did a little boating in my youth, you can push a pretty big boat, you know, pretty easy. It's pretty easy to push a boat off the pier. Yeah, so it's just about friction that makes the car hard to push. Now, pushing it fast, getting it up to velocity, that's a whole other subject. But actually moving it's not a problem. So he should just point out that, well, if we were in space, and I had the car here, and I stood on, let's say, I don't know, a plastic duck, right? Yeah, or a palm tree. Okay, so I put a... Well, the palm tree is a bad example, but that could weigh a lot. Just something, a brick, one single brick. And so I put a brick under my feet. You know, I glued one to my foot. And then I pushed against the brick, and I pushed against the car. You know, I'm pushing the car. Well, obviously, what's going to move is me and the brick, because me and the brick are going to weigh a lot less than the car. But the car is going to move. It's going to get its percentage of the pushing. So half the push is going to go towards the car, and half the push is going to go towards me. And the car is going to interpret it as, that's not much energy, so I'm not going to go very fast. And you and the brick are going to go pretty fast because you're not going to weigh much. So it'll just be a tug of war between masses. You know, whatever the heavier mass is, that one's going to win in terms of it's the one that's not going to stay. It's the one that's going to be more comfortable where it is, and you're going to have to do the moving because you're lighter and you can absorb more of the energy quicker.
Because it's heavy.
You're in a
too heavy.
It depends heavy. If it's uphill or downhill, but you know, the car's heavy.
Big rock you would think would be heavy. Anything that's big you would think would be heavy. It's too heavy. It's heavy. Yeah. Oh, it's...
Yeah, so it wasn't so hard to push after all. And obviously it's hard initially because that's the friction coefficient thing. It's in your way, and the more you get it moving, the less the friction's an obstacle to the continued moving. So that's all it's really about is friction. And if you did have something solid, so if I could put the Empire State Building in space, and then I tried to push the car. So I put the car in front of me, and I have the Empire State Building behind me, and then I push the car... I'm going to be able to push the car now. The car will get the energy, okay, rather than the Empire State Building moving a whole lot. But they're both going to get their half. It's still just as far as the universe is concerned, I'm pushing both directions. I'm an explosion and I'm hitting both surfaces. It's just one surface has to take the amount and spread over a gigantic Empire State Building, so obviously, if I take, thought of it as like a dime of money, and you're going to spread over every atom, right? There's only a tiny bit on each atom of the silver from the dime. And so the bigger the object, the thinner the silver coating you're going to put on the atoms. But that's what it basically comes down to. So the car will look like it got more energy, but it really didn't. It's just that the coating on the atoms, the amount of energy it's turned into, how much motion the atoms are going to move, is obviously diluted the more atoms you have. So the more atoms there are, the more your energy is diluted because it has to spread over all of those atoms. So they can push with, say, 50 pounds of pressure that, you know, should be, say, 20 miles an hour, but they're not going to get 20 miles an hour of output out of the car because it has to spread the energy over all of those atoms.
A bit lighter than I thought.
It's got its weight.
Weight is responsible.
What is weight?
So he just messes this video up by showing how easy it is to push the car right in the middle of, you know, getting more answers about why you can't move the heavy car. When, yeah, you can move it.
Weight is massive in a gravity.
What is this gravity?
So again, so mass in a gravity, its weight is just, like I see, you know, I put the scale up and, you know, you're moving down into Earth and you weigh, say, 200 pounds, whatever it is. All I have to do is move you in a direction. I move you 1 meter per second towards the scale, and your weight on the scale will be exactly the same. You'll weigh your 200 pounds. So all I got to do is give you motion. All there has to do is be a differential in the pressure from the outside of one object to the outside of the other object. And so obviously when we're doing it with the Earth, yeah, the Earth, it looks like it's getting nothing out of the deal when the scale is changing the needle on the scale. But the fact is, the Earth is getting half the energy.
Gravity thing.
Gravity.
It's going to give it back, frankly. It's going to push you back with it.
Is what like keeps the pull of this core of the Earth.
Your car is pulled towards the center of the Earth.
Yes.
But now when you push it, let's say you're pushing your car, you're not pushing it up, you know what I mean?
No.
But it's still hard to push.
Right, so this is the part where he should have said, yeah, okay, that's about friction. So let's imagine that it's frictionless. Let's imagine that you don't have any friction. It's really greasy. It's a really slippery surface that the car's on. But you have good traction. Now, what about how hard is it to push the car? And the fact is, yeah, the car pushes relatively easy, but you can't make it go very fast.
Yeah.
So do you think weight's responsible for making it hard to push?
Well, it is weight. I mean, like, you know, the lighter the car, it's easier to push, so, yeah.
Like, weight only exists because weight and gravitation. Of gravity on mass.
But I'm not trying to lift the car, right? I'm just trying to push it.
So again, the subject is friction. Because if he takes it into space, he doesn't have any of these problems. If he's on the space station, he doesn't have any problem pushing a big, giant, heavy thing. You know, if you take the friction out of it, you take the two surfaces rubbing against each other out of the equation, then it becomes kind of easy to say, yeah, you apply a force, and the force has to be spread over however how big the mass is. So whatever velocity you're pushing with, that velocity has to be converted into all the atoms in the object. And so, you know, and then the trick is then you get into also elasticity of the collision. And the fact that, you know, if the object can't get the energy into the, if it can't spread it across all the atoms quickly enough, then it's going to bounce off. It's going to be hit by the reflected energy before it's transferred its energy, and it's going to bounce.
That's really
good. Like
question.
A huge, like, big rock you would think would be heavy. Anything that's big you would think would be heavy. So a car, but I'm not lifting it, I'm pushing it. So it's a
So obviously the car moves easier because it has a lot less friction than a rock would have, unless you put four wheels on the rock. So yeah, without the wheels, it's got a lot of friction, so it's not going anywhere. And it has nothing to do with its mass, it has to do with its friction with the ground. I mean, a 200-pound rock could be harder to push than the car. The 2-ton car could be easier to push than the 200-pound rock, just because the rock is going to have so much more friction you're going to have to overcome.
Gravity over there.
And friction's just a transfer of energy. You're transferring through friction more of the energy than you actually have to give. So you have to overcome the amount of stuff you're moving that isn't the car. That is all the crap, the asphalt, the shit on the ground that you have to move to be able to move the car. So the friction's just absorbing all your energy. And so nothing moves because friction is consuming all the energy you're providing.
Suppose.
But this is my question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to lift it.
No, that's true.
But it's still hard to push. So why is that? Because, like, if I lift it, I understand you saying it's heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
And then it would be really hard. But we're pushing it and we're actually getting it to go.
True.
So
you're pushing in a direction where there is no gravitational force pushing back. So obviously it does move. And the only thing that decides how well it moves is how frictionless you can make its ride. So the more frictionless it is, the easier it is for you to push it. to move it, to give it your energy. But you can't give it your energy if your energy has some path where it has to move a whole bunch of ground. You know, it has to dig into the ground to move.
How does that work? The answer is because the car has inertia.
So there's no such thing as inertia. There's no resistance to change. There's none of that stuff. It's just that you have to spread the paint on all of the crap. And that's just, it's the obligation. So if it's a really big thing, you have a lot of atoms to move. So a lot of the atoms have to get a piece of the energy. And that not only takes time, which is a problem, you know, in some cases. But the fact is they will all do that. So if you can afford to apply the energy in the right amount of time that it can absorb it, it will absorb the energy. It's not a problem. There's no inertia. The bank isn't saying, I won't take your money. Okay, as long as you hand it to the banker, you know, civilly, okay, it'll say, yeah, give me all the money you got. But if you just show up and throw it, you know, big pile, then they'll say, you know, we don't accept big pile. You know, that's, you know, you just have to put it in the Coke machine in the right way, and the Coke machine will take it.
Inertia means that objects with mass have a tendency to resist changes.
Okay, so they're not resisting at all. So you certainly know that if the object is smaller, there's no resistance at all. So you're really just saying it just takes, yes, the big car takes more time for all the atoms to know they have to go somewhere. And that's really all you're fighting. So it's just how long does it take to get the energy into the car? Because it's a lot of matter. And it takes time. Just like I could stomp on the earth, and the fact is, if we took all the other sounds out, if we made everything very quiet, I mean, my movement would move through the earth, but it takes time for it to move through the earth. The speed of sound, frankly, in the material. That's how long it takes for it to move from one end of the car to the other end. You're pushing one end. The one end is saying, okay, I'm trying to go, but I can't go till everybody in front of me goes. I can't get in until all the people in front of me start going in the building. And they don't know they're supposed to be going in until I push on them. So they all have to get pushed into the door, and then I can walk through the door.
In their motion. I thought she had a great answer when I started, which was inertia. Can you tell us about that? What's inertia?
Just a word they made up to describe something that really doesn't exist. There's no resistance. In any real sense, there's no force of inertia. There's no mechanism of inertia. It's just the rule, okay, that all the atoms have to go, and all the atoms don't know they're supposed to go until they're pushed, they're forced to go. So it takes a while for the force to get to, you know, the phone call. They're not all getting the phone call at the same time.
It's like once something's stopped, it doesn't really want to go, and once something's going, it doesn't really want to stop.
Yeah, see, that's just wrong. It's just waiting for you to give it. It can't be rich until you give it the money. And it takes time for you to give it the money. So that's it. But there's no resistance. It's not saying, don't give me the money. It's saying, go ahead, change me. But you have to actually do the changing. It takes time to change it. It takes time to paint a painting. It takes time to do everything in the universe. It takes some amount of time. And that's all it is. It just takes time to do it.
Yeah. Well, the idea that I'm trying to get at is there's actually two different things, okay, right? One thing is that there's a force pulling this down into the earth. And that's what we call weight. And that makes it impossible to lift.
Mm. Well, so I don't even know why he said it impossible to lift, but, you know, obviously I could put a jack under it and I can lift it, you know, so I can use a lever and I can lift it. So, yeah, I can use lots of tricks to lift it. You know, tricks that change the time interval that it takes. If I push harder on the people in front of me, then they'll get through the door a little quicker.
There's something else which is called inertia, and that means something is difficult to change its motion. The car's got a lot of inertia, and that's why it's difficult to push.
Okay, no, it's got a lot of mass, and that's all it is. So there's no point in having another word for the word mass. It's got a lot of mass, and you have to tell all of the little atoms in the mass that they have to go somewhere. And as a practical matter, that can take time.
Which is different than why it's difficult to lift, which is the weight force pulling it down towards the earth.
Fair enough.
And we know the only reason why the car doesn't move from certain pressures is because it can't overcome the friction. But you know that it will move, and it will move pretty quick if it doesn't have any friction. So all the inertia in this case is just a byproduct. All that he's showing as inertia, what he's using as an example of inertia, is really the resistance of friction. And it really has nothing to do with any actual concept of inertia, which is how difficult it is to put your energy into something else and how it takes time to spread your energy, to change your energy. I can't push something 50 miles an hour if I can only run 30 miles an hour. So that's a problem. Because if it's a light thing, I can't give it all the energy I want to give it. I can't throw it as fast as I want to throw it, because I can't move my arm fast enough to throw it the faster speed. I can't put all the energy I want to into it, because I can't acquire enough velocity to do the conversion. I can't take a lot of force at a medium speed and get it into an object that I can't make go faster. It can't go any faster than I can throw it. And then you have the reverse circumstance where you have speeding bullet heading for the car, and the bullet is moving into the object faster than the requirement to push can get, you know, this faster than the phone call. The atoms that in the front of the car don't even know they're supposed to move yet, and the bullet's already halfway there. So I mean, it's way too late to let me know a bullet hit me, because the bullet's already hitting me. Okay, the bullet's moving faster than the phone call saying there's a bullet that just hit the back of the car. The phone call shows up after the bullet, so there's no real point. So obviously the bullet is not going to be able to push anything, because it's going faster than the communication between the atoms.
But it's actually not as difficult to push it.
It's not that hard. Yeah. I know, it doesn't even prove my point.
Right, so it's just a stupid video. I mean, what? How does this help anybody understand physics, right? It was just such a junk video. So it's 2011. It's a long time ago. But this is how he got popular, you know, is making these junky videos, which is surprising. Now, weight is mass in gravity. Shortest definition I heard of it. I mean, it's really not. Weight is a measurement of the pressure between two things. That's what it is. And it doesn't matter which way the pressure's going, you know, the weight will be a number, you know, of the conversion. The fact is, for two things to hit each other, one of them has to move into the other one. They can't, you know, or they both are moving towards each other. But, I mean, that's all you're measuring, is how much mass and how much velocity. And so, you know, we're using the Earth, which is gigantic, so it might as well be just sitting quiet in space. And then we're just using this idea of the gravitational force that's pushing us into the gigantic Earth. And so, obviously, we see us, okay, moving the spring on the scale. But it's really also being moved by the fact that the Earth is also a player, but it's just so much bigger that the only thing we see is us moving. Because we don't see how thin the energy was spread across all the atoms of the Earth. They probably never got to all the atoms of the Earth because of all the noise, but the fact is it's there. All right. Oh, I don't know if that's enough of a video. I don't know if I need to draw anything. I mean, we could get into all the stupid stuff about what a joule is and how much a newton is, and, you know, I don't know if there's any point. But momentum is weight. In the simple case, you can prove it pretty simply by just move the 1 kilogram object. Instead of measuring its weight in gravity, just measure its weight by its velocity. And when the weight of the force, you're pushing the kilogram with some force into a scale, when that force equals the same weight, when the weight you're reading on the scale is the same as the weight you're reading in gravity, well, then you know gravity is that much velocity. That's the way it works. So it'll turn out to be some kind of meter per second kind of thing, just because this is all semi-standardized. Now, I would argue that it doesn't actually work quite right, because gravity moves you a lot more when it's initially pushing you than it does, like, the first second, it's pushing you a lot more than the second second, in the sense of a proportion of your velocity. After 2 seconds, you're going 19 meters per second, but half of that was acquired in only the first second, right? Right, which is a much shorter distance. Okay. But anyway. Yeah, let's not go over all that crap. So we'll just leave it as this and call it a video. It's enough of a statement. I would argue that the simple way to understand momentum is it's just giving mass velocity. And that's exactly what weight is. It's just mass with velocity. You're constantly being pushed into the earth. You're being constantly given a velocity into the earth, and that's what a scale is measuring, is your velocity into the earth. And it's no different than measuring it in any other direction where gravity isn't messing up your readings. So it's just momentum. Weight is energy, in a sense. Because it's required to have weight, you have to have motion, and motion is the energy part. Matter doesn't have any energy unless it's moving. All right, so enough said, I think. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, we'll call it a video. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been draftphysics.com. And debatephysics.com also, but again, there's nobody willing to put together any kind of reasoned counter-arguments to anything I'm saying. I mean, and by reasoned, I mean even a tiny bit civil. Yeah, they just can't do it. All right, anyway, till the next time and such.